Also want to remind you that after service, there's going to be cake and coffee downstairs to celebrate our 30th anniversary. And so please come and join us and have some fellowship. Amen. And I'm just delighted to have my friend, Brother Jonathan Mackey here. And I want to hear the word of God tonight. Amen. Would you welcome him?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Nice to be in an apostolic church tonight. The most important building in town, right here. And more important than the drugstore, the grocery store. It's the place where sins can be forgiven, be washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit. And again, when I am here on a Sunday night, I'm glad this your pastor still is being scriptural and having service on Sunday night. When I was in Cambodia in May, they have a communist government, but churches, are not underground. Churches, if you register your church, you can have a church. But they keep putting more and more restrictions on them. And right now, they can only have one service a week. And then there's a government official at every service who takes everyone's name and address. And churches can only, and they don't want churches to get too large. They restrict them into what size they can be. I guess they don't want too many Christians, too many banding together and having demonstrations and so forth. So I can see the day soon where there'll soon be an underground church, and they just have their own secret meetings. But when we went to Cambodia, I was unable to preach there. We were there for 2 days simply because this new regime that's in there is really putting restrictions on the church. So I just thought, in America, we can have church as much as we want. And more and more men, even in 2019 that I'm going to be preaching for, says, Brother Mackey, we just decided not to have Sunday night service anymore. That is just so anti-scriptural. Amen. When the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but you should do it even more. Amen. Do you know why? Because Jesus is coming. Amen. He is. And so I commend your pastor for this, and I commend the faithful saints of God for being here. Be thankful. Amen. For Sunday night church. Amen. Let's raise our hands and thank him, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, we can be in your house again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. One day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 days. My, my. Wow, I didn't know I was here for the 30th anniversary. It's all right. Thank God for faithful pastors and faithful ministers. Amen. Amen. And a few weeks ago, I had my 44th anniversary as a full-time evangelist. So I'm now in my 45th year. So we had a big celebration, me, myself, and I. We did. But anyway, but you are blessed to have Brother and Sister Schumacher here. I know their spirit, and he loves this truth so very, very much. Amen. And I want the word of the Lord to speak to you tonight. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And I enjoyed that quartet that sang tonight. I was at a little country church in Florida, and they said we're now going to have the quartet sing, and I'm thinking, wow, I haven't heard a quartet in forever, So these four, I wouldn't say old people because I'm going to be 75, but anyway. So these four people got up there, and they sang in total unison, and everyone sang one verse. Then they all sang the chorus together. It was precious, though. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if that's going back to the 1940s or not, but anyway. All right. If there's a guest or a visitor here tonight, I welcome you. I really do. And I pray that the word of the Lord is meaningful and easy to understand. And at the close of this message, this altar will be open. And do yourself a favor and come to an altar. Amen. The best thing that could ever happen to you can happen to you right here at this altar. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you may be seated in Jesus' name. I was driving home, actually from Milwaukee, some years ago, and I was tuning into a Chicago radio station, because I usually get up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. to beat the Chicago traffic. And I was tuning into, I don't know, station 780 or 720 from Chicago. And it was unique because about 5:30, this man called in and said, his first words were, "I've got something from out of this world." And the announcer was not totally rude, but he was a little bit caustic. He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I got something out of this world." He said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "I'm telling you, it's from out of this world." He said, "Okay, what is it?" He said, "I just came out to go to work, and there's a big hunk of meteorite that hit my trunk, and my two back tires are flat, and my car is demolished." And the announcer said, "You know what? I guess you do have something from out of this world." And then they called. They said, "Folks, as soon as we can, we're going to call Northwestern University, you know." So they called the science department, and this Oriental lady answered the phone. And, he said, "What can I do with this?" And the man said, the announcer said, "Well, use it as a paperweight on your desk." He said, "But you don't understand. It's my two rear tires are flat. My car is demolished." And he said, "Wow." So that's why they called Northwestern. And this Oriental lady answered, and they said, "Is a meteorite worth anything?" And she said, "Well, it can be worth a lot of money. It all depends on the mineral content. Most of them are lead, but a lot of them have tin, magnesium, gold, silver, you know?" And so he said, "Well, give me a ballpark figure. What is a meteorite worth?" And so she said, "Well, it all depends on the mineral content, but it could be worth anywhere from $4 to $10 a gram. And there's 28 grams in an ounce." And he figured this meteorite weighed 78 pounds. That's a lot of ounces. That's a lot of grams. So the announcer said, "I don't know if you're still listening, but you just won the lottery," is what he said. So they figured it was going to be worth at least 200 and something thousand dollars, depending on the mineral content. So I'm listening, and I'm thinking, I want to call and say, "I've got something from out of this world, and it's better than a meteorite. There came a sound from heaven." Listen, the Holy Ghost is not a man-conceived, man-concocted idea. Amen. It's from God. Amen. It's from God. Now, it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's all say gift. Gift. So the Holy Spirit is a gift. Then it says in verse 39, for the promise, let's all say promise. The Holy Ghost is a promise. It's unto you, and it's unto your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So something from out of the world, it is a gift and it is a promise. Now, the reason I'm going to preach about this tonight is because I've been raised in the Apostolic Church. My father was an apostolic preacher. I've assisted, I've pastored, now I've traveled in my 45th year. And I still cannot believe what I see around altars. Number one, we have a severe shortage of altar workers, okay? We do. And then I still hear strange things. I mean, people come hungry and thirsty and they want the Holy Spirit. And someone on this side says, hang on. Someone on this side says, let go. Someone's rubbing their back and everyone's pushing their head and they have nervous breakdowns right here. What do I do, hang on or let go? Now, my home address is in Michigan, and now I just heard that they had an evangelist through the area that says, if you want people to get the Holy Ghost, you got to put one of these gyrating light things, you know, like in the discos, because that helps people get the Holy Ghost easier. I'm thinking, come on, is this really the apostolic church that I'm a part of? You know? But anyway, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, if you're a Baptist, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're a Muslim, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you're an atheist, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you're the president of General Motors, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not the temple of drugs, tobacco, lust. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God does not want to fill the heavens. He wants to fill people. He wants to fill you. And I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people receive this precious gift, amen, and take advantage of this wonderful promise. I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost standing up. I've seen them receive it sitting down. I've seen them receive it laying on, you know, on the carpet. I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost during song service. I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost during when the choir was singing. I saw a man in Ohio receive the Holy Ghost when they were taking the offering. That's a good time to get it. Okay. I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost while I was preaching. And then I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost at the altar. I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost in the spring and the summer and the fall and the winter. It makes no difference to God what portion of the service it is, what day of the week it is, what time of the day it is, because now is the accepted time, and today is the day of salvation. I don't care if you're a Buddhist, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you're educated or uneducated, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you're rich or if you're poor. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That should thrill you, because God wants to fill all these people out here with the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost. So out of all these people that receive the Spirit of God, what is the consistent factor in all of this? Because every one of you should know how to help someone receive the Holy Ghost. Whether it's in the coffee break room at the job, the front seat of your car, the living room of your home Bible study, or at this altar. You should be able to help them, not hinder them. Help them. Help them. So I want to give you five Bible steps scriptural. You don't need disco lights. You know, I don't know how much that costs to put in your house, but that's, you know. You don't need drums. Aren't you glad they had drums on the day of Pentecost? Yeah. Okay. And every one of you should know these five. And if you're here tonight without the Holy Ghost, God wants to fill you. Because it is a gift and it is a promise. The first Bible step to receiving the Holy Ghost is repentance. I'm going to give you two scriptures for every one of these, all right? Because in the month of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established, and I could do it more, but for time's sake. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, and Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." This scripture was fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. That, folks, he's the one that came. Do you understand in the Word of God there's a spiritual principle? There always has to be preparation before blessing. There has to be vessels gathered before the oil was poured out. Ditches had to be dug before the rain came. Right, folks, there had to be a John the Baptist before there could be a Messiah. And there has to be repentance before there's true Holy Ghost. True Holy Ghost. Now, you know, years ago, it was way back, even in pioneer days, the altar was called the mourner's bench because people would come and actually mourn and grieve over their disobedience and their lifestyle and their sin. And now it seems like, you know, when, people kind of put all their sins in one basket and say, "Lord, forgive me." You know, I've seen people weeping and crying, and I've seen sincere saints come up and say, "Come on, let's raise our hands and let's worship God." Do you understand? Folks, they really cannot give them an opportunity to really repent. I heard an old-timey preacher say, you committed your sins one at a time. Folks, you should ask forgiveness one at a time. And I know that's, you know, but what he was saying was, don't put it all in a basket. Folks, that's why grief, that's why we need Holy Ghost conviction. That's why we need individuals to say, "I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I mean, I'm undone. I need God." I mean, you know, when you come to this altar, God's not lucky because you're coming. You're fortunate because he's allowing you to come. You understand that? So let there be repentance. It's because it says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, which God hath given to them that obey him." Do you understand? There needs to be obedience. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God commands all men everywhere to repent. When I was a pastor and even as an evangelist, if it seems like someone's been seeking the Holy Ghost for a long time, whether it's 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years, which I saw one time, I asked them, "Have you repented of your sins?" Because you can fool me, you can fool the pastor, you can fool your neighbor, but you can't fool God. And it says in the last scripture of the book of John chapter 2, Jesus did not commit himself unto man because he knew what was in man. There must be repentance because there's no Messiah without John the Baptist and there's no Holy Ghost without repentance. And I have seen individuals, many, receive the Holy Ghost before they were baptized, but never before they truly repented of their sins. And folks, and when they come and they're repenting and suddenly, folks, it's obvious. You can see the Spirit of God moving on them. Folks, if their hands are trembling and their lip is quivering and it's all over them, if God's ready to fill them with the Holy Holy Spirit. Who am I to say, no, not yet, you can't do that? Folks, God's in charge of this. God's the one who gives the gift. So there must be repentance. It's the way preparer. All right. Now, the second Bible step is hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst. Now, let's look at the book of Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 11. Matthew chapter 5, all right, and Luke chapter 11. Matthew chapter 5, all right, and verse 6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. And then it says in the book of Luke, chapter 11, all right, and verse 9, it says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. You can tell if someone's hungry or not. Right. You really can. When someone invites me over for supper, I want to smell something cooking. Right. I hope the table's set, you know, and I'm anxious. I mean, when are we going to eat? That's what's in my mind, you know. You know, hungry people will come to an altar. Hungry people will pray. Hungry people will seek God. Every time I'm in service, I say, God, let there be some hungry people there. Do you know how many people I've met in the last 45 years? And they still say it today. A man just said it to me a week ago. Well, if God wants me to have the Holy Spirit, I'll just sit here and wait for it. He'll give it to me. And I have to tell them, you're going to be waiting a long time. If someone does not receive the Spirit of God, it's not God's fault. Amen. It is not. But God give us hungry people. Amen. Because you shall be filled. And if we, fathers being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Hungry and thirst. That's what I love preaching about in South America. When I was in Bolivia doing their conference just 2 years ago in 2016, I was preaching 20 minutes. There's about 8,000 people at this conference, and they're coming to the altar. You have to stop preaching because they're coming to the altar. Stop. So finally, by the third night, we actually had to put the ushers in the aisles to stop people from coming because it's important that they hear the word of God too. You understand that? But it's so amazing. But I know we're in the good old USA tonight, you know. And we open up the altar, and it bothers me that even among apostolic preacher, I feel a hesitancy and a reluctance for people to come to an altar. Do you understand that if there's a sinner here or a visitor, if they don't see us take it serious, why should they take it serious? Amen. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Hungry, thirsty, they shall be filled. Why don't we raise our hands in thirst and hunger after God for a minute? Dear Jesus, hallelujah, see my heart, my attitude, my spirit. I want you, God. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, the third Bible step, there's repentance, hungering, and thirsting. Because if I'm praying with somebody around the altar and I don't sense any hunger and thirst, I say, come on, let's get thirsty. Do you want this? I mean, are you hungry? Ask, seek, knock. The third Bible step is worship. Worship. Let's look at Psalm 22 and verse 3 and Acts chapter 17. Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and verse 3, all right, and Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. All right, and verse 27. But it says in Psalm 22 and verse 3, it says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." God inhabits praise. God inhabits praise. Different translations say it different ways. In praise, that's where God pitches his tent. All right? The one I like the most is praise is where God feels at home. Now, as an evangelist, you know, it's changed a little bit, but when we first started evangelizing, we were always in people's homes. And you're always walking eggshells when you're in someone's home, you know. You have to be careful with everything you say and the expression on your face when you say it. You know, you can't snore too loud. And, you know, you got to have your hair combed every morning when you come out, make your appearance. And, oh. But anyway. So one time, Sister Mackie and I left our home on December 30th, and we got home, you know, on Memorial Day weekend in the end of May. For 5 months, we were on the road. All right, 5 months. And when I came in the back door of our little 1,100-square-foot home, I just felt 20 layers of stress fall off of me, and I just swept them all up and threw them in the garbage can, because I'm home! Amen. You know, sometimes when I was at home, I wouldn't shave for 3 days. And Sister Mackie would say, "Well, the truck driver's here again," you know. That's what she would say. I mean, I did my best studying at home. I can talk about any subject when I'm at home. I can take a nap when I'm at home. I do my best praying at home. I feel comfortable when I'm at home. Where does God do his best work? Where is God free to speak? I mean, where is God free to move? He does it in an atmosphere of praise and worship. Amen. That ascends unto God. That's why we enter his gates with praise. And amen. And his gates with thanksgiving. Because that's what attracts God. So it says in Acts chapter 17, all right, in verse 27, it says that they should seek the Lord. Here's the seeking again. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. That's why I'm in churches. You know, when we're in worship, know what we're doing? We got our spiritual antenna out. We're feeling after God. And we sing a fast song, a slow song. Amen. We worship a while. We sing another. What do? We're feeling after God because he's not far from any one of us. And the fact that God inhabits praise and worship. Now, do you know what? I'm sure God is busy tonight. There's people in Africa praying to God, Asia praying to God, South America praying to God, people in California praying to God, people in Wisconsin praying to God. I mean, do you know how many people there are praying to God? Amen. So God's busy. He really is. But I'm glad he's omnipresent and he's everywhere and he knows all things. You know, we can't imagine power like that. But anyway. But so here's God's busy, and suddenly there's one person in apostolic faith, Racine, Wisconsin, that's really worshiping God. And God tells his angels, "Hold it! What's wrong, Lord? Man, I just got to go down to apostolic faith." That woman on the fourth pew, left-hand side, you know what I'm saying? You see how she's worshiping me? Because God's not far from any one of us. So that is why, if you have trouble finding God, and it seems like God is far away from you, then begin to worship God, and he'll find you. Because God inhabits praise. Hallelujah. And nowhere does it say praise him with all of your mouth. No, all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Because, again, you can fool everybody, but you can't fool God. And I know I've said it here before, but I'll never forget being at that church. This college student came to the altar. He's about 20, 21. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus. I want your spirit, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I want you, Jesus. And I'm saying, that's right. Let's have some faith now. That's right. God's going to do it. And he stopped. He said, Brother Mackey, he said, I'm not going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. I said, why not? He said, because all I can think about is pepperoni pizza. Now, come on, he's at an altar, everybody. Is this flesh something or what? Huh? In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. You're at an altar with hands raised going through the motions? Well, I said, well, thanks for being honest with me, because I'm going to go pray for someone that wants the Holy Ghost more than they want pizza. So, listen, everybody. So, I mean, God does not inhabit begging. God's not up in heaven. Come on. Okay, that's right. That's right. No, cry some more. No, no. That's right. Right. Hold your arms up till they get heavier. Yeah, you're doing good. Yeah, your knees are hurting. That's okay. Come on. Folks, this is not a torture chamber here. Folks, really. I mean, I've prayed with people. You can just tell their arms are tired. You know, they're getting muscle spasms in their back. You know, I've told people, listen, you can put your arms down. God's not going to go away. You know, he's really not. You know, because if that's what's happening, they're not, because worship is being God conscious. God conscious. Not people conscious, time conscious, music conscious. God conscious. And there's a place in your worship where you're not aware of how many people are there, how loud it is, because everything is God conscious. And you're very sensitive to God. So there must be repentance. And there must be hunger and thirst. And there must be praise and worship. And when I'm praying with someone and suddenly they start to beg God a little bit, oh, please, God. No, God does not inhabit begging. God inhabits praise and worship. All right. Why don't we just raise our hands and love him and worship him for a minute? Hallelujah, we love you and we worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why can two people be sitting in the same pew singing the same song and someone feels God and someone doesn't, when God is no respecter of persons? No, it's praise and worship. God conscious. Another word for praise and worship is giving God compliments. Don't you like it when someone gives you a compliment? You want to say, would you say that again, please? You know, really. Boy, you can just kind of hear good when someone's giving you a compliment. That's what praise and worship is. God, I love you. You are so great. Oh, God, you're so wonderful. Yes, I love you so much. God loves it, everybody. There's people all over the scene taking his name in vain. But now there's a group of people right here that are worshiping and praising. Amen, our wonderful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There must be repentance. There must be hunger and thirst. And there must be worship. The fourth Bible step is faith. Faith. All right? Let's look at the book of Hebrews, all right, chapter 11, all right, and the book of Galatians, chapter 3. All right? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 and verse 6, and then Galatians chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 11. All right? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A simple way of saying that is faith is being convinced something is real, even though you haven't seen it yet. That's why it says in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. To he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here's that seeking again. I tell you, people that are lazy, indifferent, lackadaisical, it just doesn't happen. All right. Diligently seek him. All right. There must be faith. My Aunt Kathy, the first time she came to an apostolic church was in her Salvation Army uniform, because she was in the Salvation Army. My Uncle Roy, before they were Uncle Roy and Aunt Kathy, my Uncle Roy witnessed to Aunt Kathy, and she came to church in her Salvation Army uniform on a Thursday night. She heard the message of water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, she went to the changing room, took off her Salvation Army clothes, put on a baptismal robe, and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ that night. The next service was Saturday night. So Aunt Kathy comes to church. She's shaking hands with people. Instead of saying, praise the Lord, know what she said? Before my knee touches the floor tonight, I'm going to have the Holy Ghost. Before my knee touches the floor tonight, I'm going to have the Holy Ghost. Before my knee touches the floor tonight, I'm going to have the Holy Ghost. And when they opened up the altar, Aunt Kathy's walking down the aisle with her hands raised, worshiping God, saying, thank you, Jesus. But before her knee ever touched the floor, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. All right? That is simple faith. God honors faith. All right? Now, so it says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, all right, Galatians 3, 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through back rubbing. Boy, you just rub their back and they're going to get the Holy Ghost. Folks, if they don't have faith, all they're going to have is a relaxed back tomorrow morning, okay? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through louder music. No. Amen. Through faith. Amen. Faith. I was preaching in British Columbia, and there was a woman there coming to church. Man, she, you know, someone witnessed her. She felt the presence of God. She had repented and baptized. She wanted the Holy Ghost. And her husband just fought her every step of the way. Her husband, she said, honey, come on to church. Come on to church. She said, I don't want that church. So now I come to start a revival there. And know what? She tells her husband, says, honey, we're going to have a revival. We're having a guest minister. Why don't you come? And to her shock, he said, okay, I'll come tonight. Okay. Her husband's first time in the service. He opened up the altar. He comes to the altar. He repents of his sins. Let's repent. He's speaking with other tongues before we baptize him in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone's happy and excited. But his wife, she said, I don't get this. I'm the one who wanted it, and he's the one who gets it. He's the one who didn't want anything to do with it. And he gets it. Everyone's saying, are you glad your husband got the Holy Ghost? Oh, this flesh, I'm telling you, is that amazing? But anyway, so the next night, all right, Thursday night, her husband, he's all joyous and filled with the Spirit of God. And I watched his wife. She wouldn't even worship. She's looking at her husband. You know, I mean, come on. So when she comes to the altar, you know, there was no hunger, no worship. She's just saying, I'm the one who wanted it, and he's the one who gets it, you know. Really. But then she got over her little tantrum. So on Friday night, when she comes to the altar, she just kind of came, you know, determined. You could just tell. She just comes to the altar, and she kneels at the altar and raises her hands and doesn't say a word. She just raises her hands and has her mouth open. Really, has her mouth open, you know. But you just knew it. Heart, mind, soul, and strength. She was worshiping God, and there was faith there. And the first words she spoke were Holy Ghost words. It was, and God just filled her so abundantly with the Spirit of God. But there must be faith. Must be faith. Yep. There must be repentance, there must be hunger and thirst, there must be worship, there must be faith. because we received the promise of the Spirit through faith. The fifth Bible step, which sometimes is the most challenging, is to yield. Yield your tongue to the Holy Ghost. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And verse 13. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. And then the book of James chapter 3. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, neither yield ye your members, yield ye your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And now we take our members and we yield them as instruments of righteousness unto God. Another word for yield is to give way. Another word for yield is relax. For all these teenagers that are taking driving education, you know, and you're coming down the exit ramp, and there's this triangular sign that says yield, and here comes a truck. Doesn't mean step on the gas and go faster and beat the truck. It means yield. Come on, pull back a little bit. Let the truck go first. When you yield to the Holy Ghost, you really let God go first. You know, you let God have his way. Have his way. Now, so in the book of James chapter 3, the book of James chapter 3, it says, yield your members, all right? Verse 5, behold, the tongue is a little member, but it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of iniquity or rebellion against God. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body. And your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it setteth on fire the course of nature. And the tongue is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Man can tame the tiger, the lion, the elephant, the killer whale. Yeah. But it says in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. The tongue is an unruly evil. The tongue is full of deadly poison. That's why it's so vital that you speak with other tongues. We're living in a day. God will give you my eyes. I'll just watch or read what you want me to watch and read. God will give you my feet. I'll just give you my, I'll walk wherever you want me to walk. I'll give you my hands, Lord. You know, but it's not the hands or the feet that defile the body. It's the tongue that defiles the body. All right? I mean, really, one of the hardest things to lay on this altar is your tongue, because most altars aren't long enough. I mean, some tongues stretch from here to Milwaukee, you know. Man, they're faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, and can leap buildings in a single bound. This, boy, deadly poison. A man can be wounded by a gun, by a bullet, and the wound heals. But wounds that come because of words never heal. I've seen that between spouses, between governments, between countries, between Christians, between pastors. It is so sad how deadly the poison in this tongue is. So therefore, if we can, you know, folks, we cannot tame it. God has to tame it. So you mean this tongue that gossips, swears, lies, curses? Is someone going to say, oh, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus? No, that's why there must be repentance. God, I'm so sorry for the things I've said, for how I've said it. God, I'm sorry for every time I've taken your name in vain. God, I'm so sorry, folks, because cursing is so normal and natural today. Little kids do it. Yeah, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. But now, folks, you've repented, and you're so hungry for the touch of God and thirsty, and you begin to worship God, and there's faith. Hallelujah. Thank you for the promise, Lord. Amen. And now it gets, the Holy Ghost touches you, and it gets hard to worship God in English. It gets hard to say hallelujah. That's when you must yield. I mean, I've seen the Holy Ghost touch people, and the first thing they do is close their mouth. Right. You know how hard it is to talk with your mouth closed? Really, it is so hard to talk with your mouth closed. Folks, if it's hard to speak English, then don't insist on it. And I'm not, and please, I'm not disrespectful, but I've seen the Holy Ghost actually take control and they insist. They don't, they insist on speaking English. Hallelujah. I mean, they make, God gives, the Spirit of God gives the utterance. In other words, folks, I'm still on altars where I heard people saying, let God speak, let God speak. Folks, God doesn't speak, you speak. It's your lips, your tongue, your voice. You do the speaking, but the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. The Spirit of God gives you the words that you speak. So that's why if you need, and that is why when you're praying with somebody, folks, and they have repented, they're hungry, they're worshiping God with faith, and they're ready to receive it, and you understand the same Spirit that causes you to weep causes you to speak? You're yielding your eyes to God. The same Spirit that causes your hands to tremble and shake is the same Spirit that causes you to speak with other tongues. When your hands are trembling, you say, I'm not going to let my hands shake. No, folks, you yield them to God. Now, if it's hard to worship God in English, don't close your mouth. Don't fight it. Just open your mouth and speak it. And it takes faith to do that. You know what? Listen, the devil is such a filthy liar. You understand? Because you can be weeping and you know it's God. Your hands are trembling. You know it's God. But as soon as the tongues come, it's right there. Right there, the devil says, no, that's not God. That's you. That's you now. You're making that up. You're not making it up. It takes faith to speak with other tongues. Because if you doubt it, you will never do it. Man, I was preaching in North Dakota, and it was so hot that July. The church had no air conditioning. All the windows were open. The man, there's a big Air Force base there. So the man across the street, all right, he was in the Air Force. He didn't have air conditioning either. So he's sitting on his front porch, all right. So all the songs, all the worship, all the preaching went out the church windows across the street to his front porch. That revival went 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks I was there. So it's now the first night of the third week, Wednesday night. He gets off of his porch, comes to church, and he's there before anyone else is there. And I got there early, and I said, sir, it's nice to have you here. Have you been here before? He said, no. He said, I've never been here, but I've been here. I said, what does that mean? He said, I'm across the street on the front porch, and every night I hear the singing and the preaching, so I just had to come. So I said, well, I'm glad you're here, okay? So I opened up the altar. He comes to the altar. He's repented. He prayed, really, folks. He just prayed so sincerely and so beautifully, and pretty soon, folks, the hands are just trembling, and his top lip quivered. It's not that I examine lips, but usually it's the bottom. But the top lip is quivering. And I mean, and he's praying. I said, that's right. That's the Spirit of God. And he opened up his mouth and he spoke one word, one sound. He stopped. He said, did you hear that? That's what he said. I said, yes, I did. And I didn't understand it. He said, did you know? He said, I said, that's the Holy Ghost, Steve. So okay. So he starts praying again, and that sound comes, only this time he spoke it again and again and again. Pretty soon there was two sounds and three sounds and four sounds. Pretty soon there was a river of life flowing out of him, because it takes faith to receive the Holy Ghost. We receive the Spirit of the promise through our faith. Faith. There are many, 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 many books out today on the Holy Ghost, but this is still the best one to read. All right? Right here. So, yep. Do you know how many people I've seen in the last number of years that have come to me and said, Brother Mackey, I spoke in tongues the first night, and I've never spoken in tongues since? Do you know how sad that is when your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It would be great tonight if everyone in this building spoke in tongues before you left this building. Right. But the Bible steps are still the same. If you're not hungry, get hungry. Amen. If you need to repent, repent. If you're just going through the Pentecostal motions of worship and praying on your Pentecostal beads, get serious and really worship God. Amen. Amen. And oh, let there be faith. No wonder Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. Don't go days, weeks, everybody, and not let the Spirit of God move through you and flow through you. That's why wonderful things happen at an altar when someone comes, amen, with some repentance. Amen, and there's some hunger and some thirst. Amen, and there's some true worship, and there's some true faith. Amen, and there's some true yielding to the Holy Ghost. That's when marvelous things happen in a Pentecostal church. Let's stand, shall we? And let's thank God for this gift and this promise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't make this one wait 2 nights and this man 2 years. Really? No, folks. God wants to bless you and touch you tonight. Sometimes I'm at churches and my stomach's just in a knot after church because his spirit bears witness with my spirit. There was no worship there. There was no hunger there. No faith there. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. When's the last time you spoke in tongues? When's the last time you yielded as a sonorally member to the wonderful, sweet, precious Spirit of God? And if you're here tonight, I don't care how many times you've been to an altar and you need the Holy Ghost, why don't you come one more time? Let there be some repentance. Let there be some hunger. Let there be some worship. Let there be some faith. And most of all, yield this sonorally member to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Got it, brother? Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to you. Here I am.